Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, we're going to cover everything from AEW Dynamite, including Miro's new gimmick and entrance music.
And Jim Ross's butch as well.
Yeah, that wasn't much fun. Speaking of not much fun, we're also going to talk about Rebel, who actually was injured in her tag team match.
And a rare kind of good news story about WWE offering help to Jon Moxley.
Very charitable of them. Andy Murray from What Culture.
And I'm Phil Chambers, also from What Culture. Will Bourne isn't here and it's thrown us way off.
You can tell that me and Phil haven't done a video together in a long, long time. This is the news. We got that part right. Celebrate good times, come on. Anyway, let's kick things off by talking about Miro and his new character. It's kind of a soft gimmick change, really. It's not like he's coming up dressed like a pineapple or anything like that and doing a little dance. He's still, you know, he's still Miro. He's still the scariest man in AEW at the moment. But kind of completed a change that started last week. Last week, he cut that promo with a little cross pendant talking about being God's favorite champion. And this week on Dynamite, he's the Redeemer. Now, that's his new nickname. On a character level, he is putting himself on the same platform as Jesus Christ. Fair play. Doesn't get much more God complex than that, apart from actual God, because he's his dad. He also had some booming new entrance music. It had, like, horns and strings. It was like the kind of music that an army of orcs plays before it invades a castle and slaughters all the humans. This was ahead of a match with Brian Pillman Jr., who he demolished in about 4 or 5 minutes. Went through the commercial break. Brian Pillman Jr. got about 3 moves in a comeback, and then it was game over. So completes quite the remarkable turnaround for Miro. I don't think many of us were into the gamer stuff, the Mickey Mouse Donald Duck t-shirt stuff or whatever it was for the longest period. But the turnaround's complete now. Phil Chambers, what do you think?
It's such a weird turnaround of a character, this, isn't it? Like, from where he started to where he is now. But where he is now is 100% where Miro needs to be. The entrance, the new entrance music and everything, it's just absolutely epic. And the sort of the fireworks and things. And I think he's like 11-0 now, isn't he, his record?
Yeah.
So, he's just an absolute killer. He stands out on that roster so much as just this absolute beast at the minute. And it's exactly what we all wanted from Miro when we first thought about him going into AEW, really.
Yeah, it's kind of like the perfect version of, you know, the most perfect version of like a badass Miro you can get. I think it's great. I'm scared of the guy. I don't want him to look at me so much as put me in the game over. So as far as I'm concerned, job done.
Yeah, absolutely. All good stuff. And I have absolutely no idea who's going to beat him in the end of all this. But long may he reign as TNT champion.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to take a lot of building up. We talk about Roman Reigns a lot, and Miro's, you know, he's not quite on the same length of dominance as Roman Reigns, but building someone up is going to be tough. I hope they can do it. It's going to be Lana, isn't it? She's going to debut and beat him. That'll be good.
It is. But speaking of AEW, at the end of the show, they had this big video package showing all of the sort of top moments that had happened over the course of their time at Daly's Place over the last sort of 15 months. And at the end of it, Jim Ross pipes up saying where you can get AEW tickets. And I've got a quote from it. I'll just read it out. He says, "Folks, there's nothing in your life that will top seeing a live WWE Dynamite." He's at Jim. It again. He has since tweeted about it and just completely owned his mistake, in all fairness. And he just says, yep, I apparently made an untimely error and tonight's show's end. No excuses, and I'm not quitting. But obviously, Twitter has gone mad with this because, yeah, of course they have.
Of course it has.
But what do you make of all this?
Yeah, so I feel sorry for him in this instance because, like, it came after the heightened emotions of the video packages.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that this happened. Of course, he's made mistakes on commentary before, and, you know, we've talked about those before in the past. But, I mean, like, the guy worked for WWE for about 400 years, right? It's going to, you know, things like this are going to crop into his head every now and then. I've done it before in the past, actually, where I've moved jobs and answered the phone in my new job as the name of the old company. So I can sympathize with Jim Ross on
it's a like
level
a muscle
here.
Memory or something. Or, yeah. Almost, isn't it, where it just pops out. It can't be easy.
Exactly. So I feel bad for the guy. But, you know, Twitter's going to Twitter sometimes, isn't it? And look, also, admittedly, fair play to Jim Ross for taking ownership. He's handled this the right way. He said it was my fault. But it was quite funny at the same time. Yeah. So there we go. Something, however, that definitely isn't funny is Rebel. Reba, whatever you want to call her. She unfortunately suffered a dislocated kneecap on last night's episode of Dynamite. So there was a worrying moment. It was Rebel and Britt Baker versus Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero, who inexplicably wrestled the whole match, by the way. Salty in the background, shout out.
Oh, there we go. He's up outside. He's fine.
He doesn't like this news about Rebel, does he?
He doesn't at all. He's a big fan.
So Nyla was going for a pinfall. We'll get one of the chickens running in next. Nyla was going for a pinfall on Britt. Rebel came in and tried to break up the fall. And she did break up the fall, but she hurt her knee in the process. She couldn't get off the mat. Nyla had to basically help carry her out of the ring very briefly. Britt Baker won the match for her team, all good, but as we saw from some clips that were uploaded to Twitter, Rebel was like carried out by staff. The good news, thanks to Fightful Select, is that she was in good spirits, but she has suffered a dislocated kneecap. So, sucky situation, you don't want to see anyone get injured, but it really sucks when you're someone who barely wrestles like Rebel and you get in the ring and this happens. All the best to her in a speedy recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like she's been working really, really hard sort of backstage and like training for these things. And then for something like this to happen, it just absolutely sucks.
It's rubbish.
So yeah, I 100% hope she gets better soon. I guess if you're going to think of some kind of vague silver lining, the story down the line of the kind of reversed roles of Britt Baker having to look after an injured Rebel could be quite entertaining.
That could be really funny.
Obviously, you wish they'd just kind of written that into the story instead of it actually happening.
There
but it
go.
Could be a good fun story down the line. But yeah, 100%. Sucky situation. Let's hope she gets well soon.
Yeah.
But let's end this on a vaguely good story about WWE, which we don't often get to talk about. Paquet was obviously on a Oral Sessions podcast and she was talking to Casey Lee and Jessie McKay, obviously formerly of the Iconics. And they revealed about how Triple H reached out to Moxley when he was injured in a New Japan ring, and I've just got a quote from it that I'll just read out. She says that even when John left, there were times that Hunter pulled me aside because John was injured when he came back from New Japan. Hunter kept checking in to make sure that John was okay. If he needed anything, they would have been able to help him in any kind of capacity. So it was nice to know that an olive branch was still extended and it wasn't that heat-seeking thing that everybody thinks that it is. We've all spent so much time together and nothing bad went down. Now, this is obviously coming off the back of it as well. Chelsea Green being injured, she was allowed to rehab her arm injury at the Performance Center. And Renee Paquet and Casey Lee and Jessie McKay, they were also talking about how sort of leaving WWE or like being released from WWE doesn't mean that you're automatically on their kind of you're of a terrible person list kind of thing.
Yeah.
They don't just completely write you off and ignore you forever and ever and ever. Like for a quick example they brought up was Almira went to WrestleMania 37 to see Lana perform and things like that. So it's nice to see WWE reaching out to performers that have been injured and offering them a little bit of help when they've been released from WWE.
It's a nice story for sure. It's a nice story for sure. Triple H reaching out and everything else. Look, it's always very sexy when someone leaves a company and it's all shooting hard and heat and everything else. Look, Jon Moxley just the other week was talking about WWE's promos and like using all kinds of expletives that I cannot say on the video and stuff. So stuff like that's fun and like we all get wrapped up in that. But at the end of the day, human beings are at the core of all of this. And you know, how long was Jon Moxley in WWE for? Like 9 years or something? Like a long time. A long time. So fair play. I enjoyed hearing this the other day and good to hear that they're able to let water pass under that bridge in this wrestling world. Speaking of water, Twitter, let's do some questions. All right. I put the thread out this morning. We got three of the best ones here. The first one comes from Dean of Misanthropy, who says, as a fellow fan of Hossie all beef meals, me too, I like having five steaks at a time. I've been enjoying the offerings provided by blokes like Wardlow and Miro in AEW. Who are the top three big burly blokes you would like to see slap beef with Miro before his TNT title reign ends? So I reckon if we got three of these, I reckon we go back and forth naming one each. I'll start and okay. Look, if we're talking beef, you know, if beef is on the table, you need a butcher to chop it up. That's my first pick.
Of course you'd go for the butcher. Who else? I think Brian Cage versus Miro is going to be fantastic whenever that happens. The sheer power and athleticism that man brings to the table, you cannot go wrong.
That would be absolutely tremendous. And for something that would not be absolutely tremendous, my third choice is the great Khali. Our next question,
very different kind of beef.
Powerhouse Hobbs, that's a better answer. Next question comes from Sarah Louise Buglass, who asks, so WWE just named the New Day as their number one tag team of all time. Justified or not, no one can dispute their contribution to wrestling and entertainment. Absolutely. Who are your favourite tag teams? Well, Phil, I'll just cue this one up for you because I know the answer.
Easy peasy. Too cool all the way. I was absolutely obsessed with them when I was a kid. I always wanted one of those little Scotty Too Hotty hats with the top that is just missing and my hair would just stick out. And they were just the most entertaining thing ever. Just them coming out and dancing and the pops that they got for literally just putting on sunglasses will never be topped.
You forget how over Too Cool were at the height of their power. For me, my favourite tag team of all time is the Road Warriors because they just came out and dropped people on their heads and then shouted down the microphone and they looked like someone out of Mad Max. It was amazing. That speaks to my sensibilities. But also, when I was like coming into my teenage years and the Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian, and the Hardy Boys were having all those matches, I loved those three teams equally as well. So there you go. I've copped out and named four, but there you are. And our final question, it's a bit of a banner one, comes from Scott Williams, who asks, morning guys, what alcoholic drink name would be an awesome finishing move? And Scott's suggestions are the Jaeger Bomb, the Prairie Fire, and the Paralyzer. Well, I mean, if we're talking like British cocktails, Zack Ryder already has a kind of woo-woo, right? That's one. But for me, and if you know on this one, the Big Juicy. There we go.
The Big Juice, fair. I'm going to go, I don't know why this popped into my head, but the screwdriver, possibly the laziest cocktail in the history of anything.
Fair point.
Put two things together. It's not really a cocktail, but the screwdriver, I'm going to go with that.
What if you did like the old-fashioned dinner, it's just a headlock, you know? That might work quite well. Yeah, or the Godfather, you end up with a horse's head next to you. There's all kinds of things you could do. But thank you, as always, for sending in your Twitter questions today. We appreciate you very much. I will put out another thread for this tomorrow morning, round about the same time. We're talking about 7 a.m. UK time, 2 a.m. EST, when all of you are asleep. But it'll be out there. Send us them in there because I'm kind of useless at finding them otherwise. I need them all in one place. Put them in that thread. You can follow us on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. You can follow Phil Chambers at
Phil My Chambers. And you can follow Andy Murray at
you can follow me at Andy H. Murray. The H stands for I haven't got one. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.